Alrighty. Well, I'm excited about the things that we will be looking at tonight. And we're going to be continuing to look at the kingdom of God. And where we're at in our study of the kingdom of God, we've been spending a while in Old Testament history as it relates to the kingdoms of men and the kingdoms that God set up and the kings that God wanted to reign over his people. And we saw that some of them did very well, some did pretty well, and some were horrible. They just botched the whole thing. They took the authority that God gave them, and they just did whatever they wanted instead of doing the will of God. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, that's when his will is done upon the earth as it is in heaven. And with these kingdoms of men, we saw that the will of God was not always done upon the earth. And in some cases, well, it might have been done by a small group of people for a limited amount of time in a small area, but you don't have everybody in the world doing the will of God voluntarily all the time. But we know that that is something that will happen in the future and that we're going to be part of it because we have already entered into the kingdom of God by way of the new birth. But we'll be getting more into those in the weeks and months to come. This evening, we're going to look at Josiah. King Josiah, the last king that we looked at that walked with God, that trusted and loved God, was Hezekiah. Boy, he had a lot of challenges, but tremendous deliverance and victories. And Hezekiah, it says, trusted God like no other before him. But his son after him, Manasseh, we looked at his life. He took that dominion that he inherited from his father and took it in an entirely opposite direction, worshiping idols, making statues of Baals and altars for the sun and the moon and the stars, and even putting these things of idolatry right in the temple that was dedicated to God. And God was furious at this, and he was conquered and taken captive by the king of Assyria, who did not destroy Jerusalem at the time, thankfully, but he took Manasseh up to Babylon, which was under the Assyrian Empire at the time. And while Manasseh was in prison and in a lot of pain and discomfort, he had a huge change of heart, humbled himself before God. God allowed him to come back to Jerusalem and reign as king of Judah again. And he got rid of the idols that he had brought in there and got rid of, you know, many of the bad things that were in the kingdom. But when he died, his son after him was Amon. And he went right back to idolatry immediately, indicating that he never really turned to God like his father did towards the end of his life. And apparently a lot of the other people in Judah also had the idolatry in their heart, you know. They saw that the king who brought the idols in got rid of them, but that doesn't mean it gets it out of people's hearts. But Amon, the grandson of Hezekiah, was killed by some of his servants, and his 8-year-old boy named Josiah became king at a very early age. And he must have been a bit traumatized, I would think, having his father killed when he was only 8 years old and then finding out that his dad was really a bad guy, that he wasn't a good king. But Josiah wanted to be a good king, and he was. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, the first couple of verses give a summary of his life and reign. And then the rest of the chapter and the one after that, as well as a couple of chapters in 2 Kings, give a lot of the details. And there's plenty of them given because he was a great guy. Verse 1 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Okay? 130 years. So 130 is 31. So he would have died at the age of 39, right? The next verse says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord being Jehovah, you know, with all capital letters. And he walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And that's something that couldn't be said of all the other kings before him, even the ones that loved God. Many of them had something happen towards the end of their life where they turned to the right hand or to the left. Remember, Uzziah was a great king that loved God, but at the end of his life, he took it upon himself to burn incense in the temple, which he was not allowed to do under the law. Asa was another king who did great, had great victories, great deliverance, but towards the end of his life, he relied on other things besides God. You know, he made an affinity with the king of Syria to fight against the king of Israel instead of just relying upon God like he had earlier. Even Hezekiah, towards the end of his life, had a situation where he was lifted up with pride and then was reproved by Isaiah the prophet and then humbled himself. But he had that incident. With Josiah, it said he never varied. He never turned from God in either direction. That is just a wonderful thing. Now, Josiah didn't personally know Hezekiah, who was his great-grandfather. He didn't know Manasseh. He did know Ammon, because that was his dad. But in verse 3, look at verse 3, it says, in the eighth year of his reign, he would have been 16 years old at the time, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So he must have heard about David. It was like 17 generations before him, but he had heard about David and heard about David's God in an environment where idols were being worshipped. Because Ammon, his father, was an idolater. He never turned from the idolatry. So when Josiah began to reign at 8 years old, what was everybody doing? They weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping other gods and doing really terrible things right in Jerusalem, right in the temple of God that shouldn't have been done. But he must have had some influences. One of them may have been Zephaniah. It's one of the books of the Bible that maybe is in the clean section. There's three chapters of Zephaniah. But if you look at Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll read the first 8 verses here, it says, the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah. So Zephaniah was a prophet. The word of the Lord came unto him during the days of Josiah. Okay? And here's some of the things that God had him say. Verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah. That's where Josiah was the king. I will stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, where he lived, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Chemerims with the priests. The Chemerims, that means the priests. It had to do with the cloaks that they would wear. Cut them off, the idolatrous priests. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Malcolm was a false god, but if people were swearing by the Lord and swearing by Malcolm, that means they were worshiping the true God and a false god, and God wouldn't put up with that either. And them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. So what did Josiah do when he was 16 years old? He started to seek the Lord God of his father David. So this thing that Zephaniah said, that God would get rid of those that had not sought the Lord or inquired of him, he may have taken that to heart because it was spoken while he was king. Verse 7 says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. It means just like shut up and listen to what he has to say. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel, that are dressed like foreigners instead of the way God tells his people to dress under the law. So the king's children. Well, who was Josiah? He was the child of the king, right? He didn't have any children yet himself at 16 years old, but he was one of the king's children. So these words were directed at him, and apparently he took them to heart. Look at something else that Zephaniah said in chapter 2, verse 3. He said, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And the day of the Lord's anger was coming upon Judah because of what had gone before them with Manasseh and Ammon. Okay, the wrath of God was coming upon Judah, and this would also be true in the future generation, but it was true at that time as well, because the Babylonians coming and destroying Jerusalem, that was referred to as the day of the Lord, you know, the day of the Lord's judgment, the day of his anger. So seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles 34 in verse 3. We can read the whole verse. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of his father, like Zephaniah had said to do. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So it was his 12th year, 8 years old when he started, so he would have been 20, okay? 20 years old, he started getting rid of the high places, the groves, carved images, and the molten images. There were some of them right in the temple. They were in Jerusalem. They were in all the cities of Judah. So he got to work. And they break down the altars of Baalim, the Baal gods, in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. He did it. So they were broken down in his presence. Now, previously, we had a number of kings that said they removed the idols and the groves and the altars and the high places from the land, right? And then you see at the end of their reign that they're still there. And we looked at how could that be? Like Hezekiah, it said he removed all these things. And at the end of the life, it says the high places and things hadn't been removed. So either he had removed them and people made more of them when nobody was looking, or he commanded it to be done and it wasn't accomplished completely. Because sometimes the king can make a decree and order people to do things and they might do it part way, but not all the way. Remember when Saul was king, and it said that he had removed all the wizards and people with familiar spirits out of the land, and yet there was one left, right? So he had made a decree that all these would be removed from the land, but when he wanted to contact Samuel, who was dead, he asked his advisors, is there any people with familiar spirits left in the land? They said, oh yeah. They knew it very well. They answered him right away because they hadn't gotten rid of actually all of them like he had told them to do. And he went to see that one. But Josiah, he made sure that they were destroyed in his presence, that he saw it happen himself. And he participated in these things. He broke them in pieces and he strawed the dust on the graves of the priests that had sacrificed to them. Look at verse 5. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. The word mattocks means ruins. At least in some of the Hebrew texts, it says ruins. And Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and Naphtali, these were tribes of Israel that had been in the northern kingdom. Now, the Israelites that were in the northern kingdom had either moved south to Judah, or they had been taken captive by the king of Assyria and transplanted in other places, and other people were relocated in the land of Israel, which was now called Samaria. Okay, so he went up to Samaria, and he got rid of all the idols and altars and stuff that was there. So he went out of his own jurisdiction, but he did it because, well, this is part of Israel, and there's not supposed to be any of this in the land of Israel that God had given to his people. Verse 7 says, when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, I want to read in 2 Kings 23 because it gives a few more details about what he did. 2 Kings 23, and we're going to start in verse 4. 2 Kings 23:4, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. So the vessels that Baal was worshipped in the temple, there was a grove, you know, one of these big poles in the temple, and altars for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites, those were the male prostitutes, that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. All these idolatrous practices. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among the brethren. Whatever that is talking about, I'm not sure. But he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Moloch. This was the place where they did the child sacrifices, actually burning their children to gain the favor of this false god named Moloch. Got rid of that. So he defiled the place so they wouldn't do it anymore. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which is in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. So this was sun worship, that the kings of Judah would have been Manasseh and Ammon would have done these things. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, that was Hezekiah's father, who was an idolater. So the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. Now Manasseh, remember, he had a change of heart and he got rid of the idols and stuff, but he had made these altars in the court of the house of God and they were still there. He didn't get rid of them, but Josiah did. So that was his grandpa, was Manasseh. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. So these things that Solomon had built towards the end of his life, they were still there. So even though Hezekiah and Asa and others said they got rid of all these things, well, they didn't get rid of these high places that Solomon had built. Otherwise, they wouldn't still be there for Josiah to get rid of them. And he brake in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men, which would defile them. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, remember Bethel? It's going to talk about Jeroboam here. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Remember from chapter 13 of 1 Kings. We'll read that in a minute, but we'll read this first in verse 17. Then he said, what title is that that I see? So there was a sepulcher, and there was a title, like a marker. And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. Remember the older prophet that lied to the man of God to get him to come over to his house for dinner, you know? So let's go back to 1 Kings 13 to read those couple of verses that mention Josiah. Verse 1 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah." Never does give us his name, just it's called the man of God. "By the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense," where the golden calf was. "And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." That's what that man of God said. And over 200 years later, here's Josiah carrying it out. It's just amazing. The word of God, even though sometimes it may take a while for it to come to pass, it always does come to pass. So I just thought that was so cool. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and read some other things, starting in verse 8. "So now in the 18th year of his reign," the reign of Josiah, "when he's 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God." So it had been cleaned out. All the bad stuff was gotten out of there, but there were some things that were broken, needed to be fixed. "And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem." So the Israelites that had been in the northern kingdom that had moved to the southern kingdom, they gave money to put towards the repair of the temple. "And they put it, the money, in the hand of the workmen that had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed." Or destroyed means that they let it go into disrepair. So Manasseh and Ammon, they just let the house of God get into a bad physical condition. Verse 12, "And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music." So they had people singing and playing music while the work was going on. Now let's skip down to verse 14. Well, we'll read 13 along the way. "Also they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses." Now, I'm going to show you something. This word "by," it says "given by Moses," it's the word for "hand." So apparently it was the original, not a copy, but the original scroll that had been handwritten by Moses was found in the temple. "And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book." It would have been a scroll, you know, not a bound book, but all rolled up. "And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes." He just tore his kingly royal garments. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Azaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. So in the law, it gives the history of Israel. It gives the kind of the Exodus, all the things that God had done and how he dealt with Moses and the people. And gives the law, not only the Ten Commandments, but all the things that they were supposed to do and all the things that they were not supposed to do. And then it gives the blessing and the curse. The blessing if they would love God and keep the law, and the curse if they would disobey God and turn to other gods. And the curse involved sickness and disease, poverty, and defeat before their enemies. Okay? So when Josiah heard the words, and apparently it was the first time that he heard it. You know, he was seeking after God, but he hadn't heard the words of this before. And now he did. He's saying, oh my goodness, we're in big trouble because we haven't been obeying this. And there's consequences for breaking this covenant that God had made with our fathers. So he said, go inquire of the Lord. Verse 22, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. Some other translations say, like, in the second sector of the city. I don't know why they use the word college there, because I don't think there was a college. And they spake to her to that effect, saying, we found this book, read it to the king, he tore his garments, asked to inquire of God concerning this book. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. So he said there is wrath coming from God because of what has been done. Verse 26, and as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. There was bad news, but there was also some good news, because the king was humble and meek to God, that God would delay all the consequences of the kings that went before him and of the things that they had still done, because even though he got rid of the idols, there were still a lot of things in the law that had not been kept, that they were commanded to do. So the king knew that his fathers had done wrong, and he himself had been ignorant of the terms of the covenant that he and his people were under. Okay? Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. Had a big meeting here. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. So not only the elders, but everybody, all hands meeting. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. So they would all be informed now of what the writing was and what was going to happen from now on. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. So he made a personal covenant to do this before God in the presence of everybody. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. Say, you make the same covenant. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did, according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. So he got everyone to agree. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel. So even, again, outside of Judah, he went back up into where the northern kingdom had been and just scouted out any place that they could find any remnants of idolatry and spiritualism. Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now, I want to read some things in Jeremiah, because this says that everybody was on board and everybody was fully with that. But let's look at Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet, and it tells us exactly when God first spoke to Jeremiah and for how long. Okay? 1:1 says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now, we read about Hilkiah the high priest, but according to E.W. Bullinger, this is not the same Hilkiah. There's another priest named Hilkiah, because he said those in Anathoth were from a different family within the family of Aaron. So Aaron had two surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Hilkiah the high priest was from Eleazar, and this Anathoth was from where the family of Ithamar was. So two Hilkiahs that are priests, but not necessarily the same person. Verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So remember Josiah, when he was in his 8th year, 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord God of his fathers. In the 12th year, he started cleaning the idolatry out of Judah and Jerusalem. In the 13th year of his reign, when he had already begun the process of getting rid of the idols and the altars and the groves, Jeremiah, as a young man, is called by God to be a prophet. Verse 3 says, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So very specific time frames. Now, if you go down to verse 14, I want to show you one of the things that God showed Jeremiah right in the beginning, that first day, which would have been the 13th year of Josiah. Verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, because he showed him a vision of a boiling pot whose face was from the north. Okay. And then he explained it, saying, the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. So God showed Jeremiah at that time that the kings of the north, which would be under the head of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor, who had kings subject to him, that they would come to Jerusalem, and then God would execute judgment on Jerusalem because of the burning of incense unto idols and worshiping the works of their own hands. So this was said during the 13th year of Josiah, where he had just started to seek God. He had started to get rid of the idols. But even though Josiah was into this, not necessarily all the people of the land in their hearts were totally for that. You know, there's a lot of people that you can get rid of their physical idols, but they still honor that God that the idol represented in their hearts. How do I know this? We'll look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, starting in verse 6. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, So this would have been after the 13th year. But in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot, because that's where they would put the altars and the idols, either on a hill or under like an evergreen tree. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Treacherous means deceitful, okay? And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So even after the kingdom of Israel in the north was taken away by the Assyrians because of the idolatry that they refused to stop doing, you have Manasseh and Ammon that went to idolatry in Judah. And in the days of Josiah, a lot of that was still going on because Josiah is just getting rid of it, you know? Verse 9, and it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, said the Lord. Feignedly means with deception, pretending, okay? Pretending to turn to God with all their hearts, but in their hearts, still honoring these other gods, okay? So even in the days of Josiah, when he's cleaning house, he is wholeheartedly turned to God. He wants to do nothing but the will of God. And he wants all the people to follow him, and he makes them stand to the covenant. And they all said that they did, okay? And they didn't have any more statues and stuff like that. But this says that they did it feignedly, that they were still secretly worshiping these other gods. They didn't turn to God with their whole heart, which is a little sad. Now, in 2 Chronicles, back to 2 Chronicles 35, it talks about the Passover that Josiah kept. And this was in the 18th year of his reign. That was the same year that they found the Book of the Law. So in the Book of the Law, they said, okay, part of the law is we keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So they did it. Verse 1, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Remember, the last time the Passover was done was in Hezekiah's time. They did it in the second month because the people weren't prepared to do it in the first month. But Josiah said, we're going to do it right. We're going to do it in the month that it's supposed to be done. And they did it. And if you read the rest of this, he provided thousands of lambs and kid goats for the people to do the sacrifices. And so did some of the other princes in Judah. They made sure every family had what they needed to do the Passover, and they all kept the Passover on the proper day, and they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. So skip down to verse 16. It summarizes this. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Now, from what you read in Chronicles, it sounds like, boy, everybody's on board and this is all great. But you read Jeremiah, it said that, well, they're turned to God feignedly. The king did with all his heart, but the people not so much. Now, after all this was done, verse 20 says, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, so king of Egypt sent ambassadors to Josiah, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I am not come against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war, which was the king of Assyria. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. So the king of Egypt, he's on his way to Damascus, where Carchemish is, to fight against the king of Assyria. Josiah takes his army and he goes out to meet him. And the king of Egypt says, don't meddle with this. God told me to do this. I'm not going to fight with you. I have a mission here. But Josiah didn't listen. He went ahead anyway. Verse 22 says, nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot, put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. He's only 39 years old. Could have lived much longer and delayed that wrath of God upon Judah, but he made that decision, and he died, and the people lamented for him. Now, it gives a few more details in 2 Kings, and we just have a few more minutes. I want to look at this. 2 Kings 23. I want to start in verse 24, which picks up after the Passover in his 18th year. He said, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Which is great regarding Josiah. It's terrible regarding everybody else, because everybody was supposed to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to obey him completely, right? That was expected. Here's one man who did what was expected of everybody, and he stands out as a shining light because most of the others just wouldn't do it. Notwithstanding, verse 26, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Now, Manasseh was forgiven personally, right? He humbled himself. He turned back to God. God allowed him to reign in Jerusalem, got rid of idols and stuff. But what he did before that had a lasting effect in the hearts of the people, you see? It was that idolatry that Manasseh brought in after the great reign of Hezekiah. Manasseh brought this idolatry, and the people were loving it, you know? His son Ammon, he didn't go back to God like Manasseh did at the end of his life. He was wholly into idolatry, and so were the people along with him. Manasseh did a lot of damage, and it says he shed innocent blood. And that had to be paid for. Even though he was personally forgiven and allowed to reign as king again, the damage that he had done had a lasting effect, and God was furious still. Verse 27, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. And it says the rest of the acts of Josiah, you know, they're written in the book of Chronicles. And then it talks about Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, and how Josiah went to fight against him. And when he died, it says that his son Jehoahaz reigned in his stead. Next week, we'll read about Jehoahaz and the other kings that followed Josiah and see what happens. Now, you can see we're getting towards the end of Chronicles. There's only a couple of chapters left, and towards the end of Kings. So within the next few reigns, we're going to see things deteriorate again to the point that they all get wiped out and taken captive. But at least you had a brief time when Josiah turned to God, inquired of God, found the word of God, turned to God with all his heart and soul, and he just did his very, very best to serve God and encourage everybody else to go along with him. What a great man. You know, just so thankful for a person like that. But that's all we have time for tonight. So We're going to have to wrap it up, and we will continue next week with the sons of Josiah. All right?